The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. We've got Capital One Cup semi-finals to look forward to this week. And my name is Mark Walton. I'll be the presenter in the absence of Lee Phelps, who's usually the pundit. And what's happened is Dave Kellner is now in the pundit seat.
He's been ousted, hasn't he? He's gone now. Mr. Lee Phelps is in Krakow for a few days. So I've been tasked. Usually, I enjoy doing the Weekend Punt podcast because we do 10 matches, all the Premier League games. I get to sit here, just talk about 10 matches without ever actually having to put a bet up.
Yeah.
And then at the end, just get to select one best bet. And it's been successful recently. I know Lee Phelps won't mind me mentioning the NAP standings at the moment, but the name David Kellner is at the top of those NAP standings at the moment, ahead of Lee Phelps and ahead of Derek McGovern. But enough trumpet blowing from this side of the studio.
Is this reminiscent of when Hull City were top of the Premier League for a while?
I think that's a very, very good analogy there. I think you've got it spot on. I think it is beginning of season luck, and hopefully long may it continue, but feels a bit different being sat in this seat and having to analyse a couple of games this midweek. But looking forward to it, Mark.
Okay, I'm sure you'll be fine. Let's just take a quick look back at the weekend action before we move on to the Capital One Cup games. Interesting at the top of the table. We'll move on to the fortunes of Chelsea in a moment, but they're in a very good position now. They're 5 points clear at the top of the league. They play City at the weekend, which is a massive game, obviously, but City slipped up against a different kind of Arsenal this week. They showed determination, they showed togetherness. They were solid. They didn't look like conceding a goal against City, which is a remarkable change of fortunes for Arsenal.
Yeah, great performance. I think finally Arsene Wenger realised I must have a plan B.
Yeah.
We can't just go gung-ho against these talented teams all the time at home and away from home. And I thought it was a very impressive performance. It was actually Derek McGovern's nap at the weekend.
Right.
Went with Arsenal, which I was flabbergasted at the time. I was thinking, you're mad. You're mad. We know this Arsenal side have a real soft underbelly. But it was a different performance from Arsenal. Santi Cazorla was incredible.
Yeah.
It was a superb performance from him in particular. But you're right. It was a more solid performance. They didn't look like getting beaten, Arsenal, at the weekend. They showed more tactical nous than they've ever shown before in one of those games in recent history. Anyway, we're talking 5-6 years now. So it was a good performance. But Manchester City really missing Yaya Toure. I think his absence really showed because they didn't have that drive and penetration they usually have, and no one could get close enough to link up with Sergio Aguero. They did a great job. Coquelin did a fantastic job on David Silva.
Yeah.
Didn't let him get the ball in those positions in between the two fours. I thought it was a great performance from Arsenal. Well deserved.
Yeah. You mentioned the absence of Toure there. Arsenal only had 30-something percent possession in the first half, and throughout the game probably, and they still managed to control that midfield. It just shows when Arsenal are solid and compact rather than trying to be flamboyant and expressive, there is a different side there. You obviously mentioned this soft underbelly of Arsenal. Mm. It's mentioned a lot. They revealed a ripped six-pack this weekend.
they did, and I think mentioning Coquelin's important here because Mertesacker only had to make one challenge all match. It's protecting. It's the importance of a defensive midfield player. We've seen it at Chelsea all season long with Nemanja Matic,
yep,
protecting Cahill and Terry. On Sunday afternoon, we saw it with Coquelin protecting Mertesacker and Koscielny at the back. Because those two didn't have to get heavily involved in the tackling side of the game, they could control the match without having possession, and that's key. Possession is not the be-all and end-all in this league, and Arsenal showed that you can give the ball away, but give the ball away in the right areas. They had Manchester City playing in front of them the whole time, and because of that, they could control the tempo and dictate the match.
Hmm. How do you see the top four shaping up now then? Because Southampton won again, they won away at Newcastle. Man United managed to beat QPR 2-0, but Arsenal with a standout performance. They're currently fifth, a point behind Manchester United, and 3 points rather behind Southampton. Does Southampton stay in there? Do Man United fall out of it? Which way do you see
it? I think Southampton probably drop off. Newcastle could have got something against Southampton, in my opinion, at the weekend. It all depends if Victor Wanyama and Morgan Schneiderlin can regain fitness quickly. If those two can regain fitness and they can keep that starting 11 intact, I think Southampton can finish. I think they'll finish in the top six, definitely, but I'd be surprised if they finished in the top four right now. You see Arsenal getting in there. Happens every single year, doesn't it? You think Arsenal aren't going well in the league. They might not make the Champions League this year, but every single year, Arsene Wenger gets that team in the Champions League. I think the same thing will happen again. So I see the top four being Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal in third, and it's going to be tight for fourth. Southampton, Manchester United, and Tottenham, and Liverpool can all grab that fourth spot, I think. I think that is up for grabs because Manchester United aren't impressing at all at the moment. I know they beat QPR at the weekend, but QPR were dismal. Manchester United weren't that strong, weren't that good. Falcao had a couple of really solid chances, and Rob Green pulled off a couple of terrific saves, but his future's still uncertain. So it's a battle for that fourth spot, I think. I think Arsenal will definitely be in the top four.
Okay. A few other results from the weekend. Palace won again under Pardew. They got the better of Burnley. Villa are in a lot of trouble. They're toothless, aren't they, at the moment? They got beat by Liverpool. Anything else stand out to you from the weekend?
We were just chatting off air about the next Premier League manager to leave market. I think Lambert's an exceptional price at 4-1 to be next manager to go. Randy Lerner will understand that it's imperative if he's going to make money from the club, and he's obsessed with money. If he's going to make cash from the club, they have got to stay in the Premier League. They've scored 11 goals in 22 games now. They're appalling, in all honesty, under Paul Lambert. I'm very, very surprised he's 4-1 third favourite in that market. There's not much talk surrounding Harry Redknapp at the moment.
He went as short as 1-3, didn't he, last week?
I think it's very short because everything I read in the press suggests that there's no rift between manager and chairman at the moment. Whereas Lambert's under serious pressure. They're dropping like a stone, Aston Villa. They've got nothing going forward. They're not defensively solid. He's playing players out of position all the time. Went with the two up front at the weekend. It didn't work. Liverpool dominated them. That 4-1's massive on Paul Lambert to be next manager to leave, in my opinion. So I'd take that now. There's even rumours that his future might be decided in the next couple of days. I think that's a good price.
Okay. Is Benteke gonna help him out, really? Because he didn't have a pre-season, so he's going to take a few weeks to get going. We know that if he gets fit, he's going to be a handful.
Yeah.
They've only scored 11 goals. He could end up with 11 by himself by the end of the season if he finds form.
Yeah, this is something that Lee mentions on numerous podcasts. He says that everyone he's spoken to, he drops a few names in there as well, but everyone he's spoken to...
He didn't mention
about,
Sergio Aguero again.
He did mention Sergio Aguero again. He says that if you don't have that pre-season, you never find your full true form in the league season because you've missed all pre-season, so you're never ready to go. I don't know if I buy into that completely.
You'll get fitness eventually. It'll just take you longer and you'll be playing more games while it's happening.
Maybe so. But Christian Benteke, still, there's something to prove there at the moment, isn't there? And until he starts scoring, Villa have got nothing else. So Lambert at 4-1, it's a good bet.
Okay. Should we move on, Dave?
Yes, let's.
Let's move on to the midweek action then. Two games in the Capital One Cup. It's the first legs of the semi-finals, and we'll start with Tuesday evening's game as Liverpool play host to Chelsea. Liverpool are 5-2. The draw 21-10. Chelsea are 6-5. Liverpool have turned it around a little bit. 8 games unbeaten. A comfortable win over Bournemouth in the quarterfinal to start this little bit of a run that they're on. They've started keeping clean sheets as well, which has been a real Achilles heel for them in the past couple of years. But they were against Sunderland and Villa, so you've got to maybe take that with a pinch of salt. They take on Chelsea, who lost 5-3 to Spurs a couple of weeks ago, but bounced back with 3 wins to nil. They beat Watford 3-0 in the FA Cup, 2-0 against Newcastle, and then thrashed Swansea at the weekend 5-0. What would you make of this? Because I think it's quite hard to call this first leg.
I found it really difficult when thinking about betting in this match because the match prices look around about just about right, in my opinion. Chelsea should be slight odds against to win at Liverpool. We know from everything we've seen this season, Chelsea are a better side than Liverpool. That cannot be called into question. And recently, against Liverpool as well, they have dominated matches. I remember that match back in November where Chelsea went to Anfield and won 2-1. That was on the back, of course, of last year's match in late on in that campaign where Liverpool were challenging for the title. The infamous Steven Gerrard slip.
I think I missed that. What happened there?
That's something that Jose Mourinho has been referencing in the lead-up to this match, because he wants the Chelsea fans to show Steven Gerrard the respect that he's due.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's too much respect now in football. I think we've gone completely the other way now. Apparently, the great thing about being at the match is that you can get stuck into the opponents and make it a hostile atmosphere.
Yep.
I think we're going too much the other way. I think Jose Mourinho should be not imploring the fans to get stuck into Steven Gerrard, but it shouldn't be damning if they do have a go at him. I think it's all part of the fun of the fair, isn't it? Really. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a storyline in the lead up to this match. I think Liverpool can win this though.
Right.
It is gut instinct, but I think the 5-2 on Liverpool could be decent here. They've won 4, lost just one of their last 8 League Cup matches at Anfield. They've got a really good record in this competition. Of their 14 previous appearances in the last 4 in the League Cup, they've reached the final on 11 occasions. So they've got good pedigree in this competition. He's bound to play a strong side, whereas Chelsea, they might weaken down a little bit looking forward to that big game at the weekend. I can see definitely Mohamed Salah playing, possibly Andre Schürrle playing as well, because these two are in the shop window now. Jose Mourinho, I think, wants to get rid of them, and he wants to recoup. I don't know if he's going to get back the full £30 million that he outlaid for those two players, but I think Schürrle's a really good player. I think he's fantastic, and he's actually had 15 shots in the League Cup so far this season, which is a high, and scored just one goal. I can see him getting on the score sheet though here. Scored at the weekend, took that one off Oscar's foot when he was waiting for the hat trick.
Yeah, he wasn't Oscar, happy about it, was he?
Yeah, Oscar's reaction's fantastic there. So he's 2-1 to score any time, which I like that for Schürrle, because in that match back in November, Alberto Moreno played at left back. That's where they had all their joy. I think he needs to be a little bit more pragmatic. He bombs forward a little bit too often in big matches like this. I think that's key. If he sticks to his defensive position, Liverpool need to play like Arsenal played against Manchester City at the weekend. I don't know if they've got that in their DNA. I think Brendan Rodgers and his sides, they just love to play attacking football, don't they? Moreno's going to be left back. Glenn Johnson's back in contention for a starting spot as well. If he plays right back, those are two very attacking-minded defensive fullbacks. So that's the problem for me. I think if those two bomb forward, they leave space in behind. Andre Schürrle is going to be the one that exposes that space. So I like him to score at 2-1 if Moreno and Glenn Johnson both play. Adam Lallana is apparently going to be back for Liverpool, which is big news for them. And Steven Gerrard, remember him? He missed the match at the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's likely to start as well here.
Is that why? Just to break off a little.
Yeah.
Is that why Mourinho's bringing all this Gerrard stuff up? Do you think he thinks he'll play? He's trying to get in his head.
Maybe
he also
so.
Mentioned that he's one of the big signings that he's been most disappointed when Chelsea nearly signed Gerrard. He's saying the fact that they didn't get him was his biggest disappointment in the transfer market.
Yep.
So he's really trying to get in Steven Gerrard's head, I think.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. You could be right. I hadn't thought of it like that, but it could be a little bit of mind games with Mourinho. And something else worth noting here in terms of the history between the two clubs in the League Cup, it's the sixth meeting between the two in League Cup history. Liverpool have actually won the 3 previous matches. I think it's more important this match for Liverpool than it is for Chelsea. That's my gut feeling, because Chelsea have got that big match at the weekend. Liverpool are on this run now, only one loss in 14 in all competitions. Brendan Rodgers has talked in the lead up to the match about the importance of maintaining momentum. Steven Gerrard, a little bit of revenge on his mind, no doubt, after what happened last season. I've just got a gut feeling that Liverpool are going to win this game against Chelsea, because Chelsea will weaken down, Liverpool will play their full strength side, and it's imperative Liverpool take a lead to Stamford Bridge in this two-legged affair as well. They'll want to not concede, but I don't think it's going to be possible against Chelsea. So I'd be playing Liverpool to win this 2-1 at 11-1. I like Schürrle to score, though, as one of my main bets at 2-1 as well anytime, because I think Moreno and Glenn Johnson are going to be susceptible wide. Schürrle cutting in, I can see him getting a lot of space in this match.
I agree with what you're saying as well about it means more to Liverpool this evening. I think if Liverpool can win this game at Anfield, it sets them up with a big chance going to Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
I think Chelsea will be approaching this thinking, we've got a big game at the weekend, let's get this one out of the way, not get too far behind Liverpool if that is the case. Take them back to Stamford Bridge and beat them there if they want. So.
And we know with that gap being 5 points now, because Manchester City have slipped up, if they can win at the weekend...
8 points.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. The title race is done and dusted. If they lose against Manchester City, that gap's back down to 2 points and it's manageable again. So we know the importance of the match at the weekend. It's a look-ahead game for Chelsea, whereas Liverpool will see this as a genuine chance to get their hands on their only piece of silverware this season, assuming they don't go the distance in the Europa League. That 5-2, I think, is a good price on Liverpool to win this match. I'm not saying they're going to qualify for the final and win the tie as a whole, but I like the 5-2 for Liverpool to maybe get the win here. That if Lallana plays, I think it's important. Lallana drags Matic out of position. I think that is absolutely crucial. If he plays in that number 10 role, he needs to be dynamic and he needs to drag Matic away from Cahill and Terry or Zuma, who's been playing in the Capital One Cup, and expose them a little bit. And that's where Raheem Sterling's going to come into play at the weekend. I presume Steven Gerrard's going to play further forward as well. He's looked more at home in that attacking midfield position, whereas in defensive midfield, not really got the energy anymore to do that job.
Doesn't really have the target anymore either. Like, if you look at when he was playing well there last season, he had Suarez and Sturridge to hit, which is much easier than hitting Raheem Sterling and Ricky Lambert, who's not moving, so no. Whatever.
Lambert got a goal at the weekend. I just wonder whether he might. I'd be very surprised if he started the game.
They started Barini, didn't they, at the weekend?
Yes, they did.
Does that continue?
Possibly.
Where's Balotelli? What's happened to him?
I think he's gone fishing, Balotelli, hasn't he? I don't see him starting. I see Liverpool playing. Rodgers will play his strongest side on Tuesday night, and Mourinho won't. That could be key. That's why 5-2 looks good to me.
You think Lazar Markovic gets a game?
I think he's been good.
He's been playing well, hasn't he?
Really strong.
Very good against Sunderland.
Yeah, he could start as well.
Okay. Right, shall we move on?
Yes.
Tottenham against Sheffield United is the other semi-final that takes place on Wednesday evening. Tottenham are 4-11. The draw 19-5. Sheffield United are 15-2. Tottenham beat Chelsea 5-3 in a quite remarkable game a few weeks ago. They then kind of did the usual Spurs where you don't know what you're going to get from them. They drew 1-1 with Burnley in the FA Cup, lost 2-1 to Palace in the league, righted the wrongs against Burnley in an FA Cup replay, but did go 2-0 behind in that game, and then beat Sunderland 2-1 at the weekend. You never know what you're quite going to get out of Spurs. Sheffield United 1-2, lost 2, drawn 1 in their last 5 games, but Sheffield United as a cup team seems to be quite hard to beat under Nigel Clough. Their cup run is remarkable since he took over.
Amazing performances in the cup. They've knocked out 5 Premier League teams in the League Cup and the FA Cup combined since the start of last season. Admittedly, the 5 teams they've knocked out were Aston Villa, Fulham, West Ham, Southampton and QPR. So Villa, Fulham and QPR, you'd say the lower echelons of Premier League football, without a doubt. But it is a remarkable run. Sheffield United are looking to at least consolidate a place in the playoffs at the end of the season. I think they're a good side in League One, and I think they should make the playoffs. A little bit of a disappointment at the weekend to go to MK Dons and get beaten 1-0. That came on the back of that 3-0 win away at QPR in the FA Cup that you mentioned, and the 2-1 win against Preston North End at home as well. Tottenham have a really solid record against lower league teams, though, in the League Cup. On the last 12 occasions they've played a lower league team, they've won 11 of those and lost just one, and that came in a second leg in 2009 in the semi-final against Burnley, and they went through on aggregate, so that you can almost disregard that loss. Tottenham should win, but I don't want to be taking 4-11. It's almost an unwritten rule that you can't back Tottenham at such short odds.
Yeah.
You've been scuppered a couple of times in the last month backing Tottenham at short prices. So 4-11 isn't something that really appeals to me. If I want to take a chance on Tottenham here, I'd be playing Tottenham and both teams to score at 21-10, I think, and hope that Sheffield United nick one at some point. Because Tottenham do concede. They've conceded in their last five matches. Since keeping a clean sheet against Manchester United, they've conceded against Chelsea, Burnley, Palace, Burnley again, then Sunderland. So they've conceded against some weak sides in the Premier League as well. So I quite like the match result and both teams to score, Tottenham at 21-10. But I love Nasser Chadli to score. I think he's been absolutely terrific for Tottenham this season. He, in my opinion, has been their standout player. Again, the price is a little short at 11-10, but I think he's got the dynamism to really put Sheffield United to the sword here, the blades to the sword on Wednesday night. And I think 11-10, it's the, if you're looking at the prices, Kane's 8-11 to score any time. Adebayo and Soldado, both who are unlikely to start, both 17-20. Then Nasser Chadli at 11-10. I think Chadli gets on the score sheet, but 11-10 again, it's a little short for me.
It is short.
So I'd probably stick with the one bet here, and Tottenham to win and both teams to score alike at 21-10, because we know they do concede, Tottenham, because they play such free-flowing football most of the time anyway. That's how Mauricio Pochettino wants them to play. So I'll take that 21-10, but it's a difficult match to get involved with, because a lot of people will be looking at that Sheffield United prize and thinking, wow, they've got such good form in the Cup, they can go there and win. But Tottenham are a different quality of side than the ones they've been playing recently, and it could be tough.
The anytime goal scorer prices for all of the Spurs players,
yeah,
are pretty sure. I was going to look at Danny Rose because he's got a couple of goals recently attacking from fullback, but 5-1,
yeah,
that's too short.
Yeah, I think it probably is too short. And the same comments apply to Nasser Chadli, I think, as well. I think there's goals in both these fixtures. I'd be going over 2.5 in Liverpool Chelsea, over 2.5 in Tottenham versus Sheffield United as well.
Okay, it's interesting, isn't it, this one? It's like the classic cup team in Spurs against the new cup team, yeah, in Sheffield United. Best bet, Dave?
My best bet on these midweek matches, I'm going to go Liverpool at 5-2 to win in 90 minutes. But listen, listeners, for the purposes of the punt podcast, we only have naps on the weekend punt. So I don't want this besmirching that good record. So if Liverpool don't win, I can't be held accountable. It's been weird sat in this seat, actually. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. I know how Lee feels now.
The pressure cooker.
The yeah, pressure cooker of an atmosphere here, yeah.
Yeah. I've been relatively relaxed. It's been great.
I've noticed, actually, how you've got your feet up on the desk and you're reclining in that seat, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
All that's missing is a beer.
I'm looking forward to Liverpool-Chelsea, though, and definitely that look-ahead match, Chelsea-Man City, which will pretty much decide the title, or if Chelsea win, it will decide the title at the weekend.
Can't wait for that as well. You'll be obviously looking ahead to that from the presenter's seat on the weekend, won't you?
I will indeed. Yeah. Will indeed, sir.
Good. Well, the punt will be back on Friday. Lee Phelps will be back as well. Good luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy the midweek football.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.